first, like Asaram Bapu, and then the Ramayana Bapu.
Mm-hmm.
So all these Mahatmas, they organized their teachings to fit into the video recording consultation. Really, like we do in the ashram.
Yeah, yeah.
I consult our Guptaji and just do what he says. Anyway, so like that is what I am trying to do to this file also. Yasya nishvasitam vedaha yovedebhyokhilam jagat nirmametamaham vande vidyatirthamaheshparam. You see, there is a sukta called Nasadiya Sukta in the Rigveda. I would refer you to an overview of suktas in the book Vaidika Sukta Manjari. So, if you want to get some more information about suktas, please refer to that. Sukta is basically a hymn of praising the glory of a devata. Then what is a devata? Devata is one particular aspect of Ishvara. It is like saying the hand is one of my limbs. Devata is one of the limbs of Ishvara. But then when you say limb, it is as if Ishvara is standing there with many limbs. That way you can visualize. That is what we call personification. But otherwise, if you want to speak in impersonal way, then devata is an aspect of that higher power called Ishvara. So whatever sukta is there, it ultimately praises the glory of Ishvara only. It seems to be praising the glory of a given devata, like Shri Suktam. It looks as if you are praising the glory of a devata called Shri. But then the devata Shri is an aspect of Parameshvara. Agni Suktam. The devata Agni is another aspect of Parameshvara. Two different aspects. Shri is wealth and beauty. Agni is fire. A very different aspect. May not be opposite aspect, but a definitely different aspect, altogether different. So like that, Ishvara has many aspects. How many? Say infinite. But to make it a little more concrete than that, let us say 33 crore aspects. 33 crore devata. Like at one time India had 33 crore people. When Mahatma Gandhi was fighting for independence, it was 33 crore people. Now it is 121 odd crores. 121, more than that. So 33 crore devatas. And then that is also not a concrete figure. You don't get any idea by just by saying 33 crore. You feel as if you have known, you have not known anything, because you cannot really visualize it. It is 33. Now you know better. 33 devatas. So you can have 33 different kind of suktas. May not be the end of the list of suktas. A few more suktas you can have. One of them, which is not the sukta praising the glory of any particular devata, but which is a very interesting sukta in which the rishi, the sage, or the seer is a better translation for the rishi. Rishi hi darshanat. The seer means the one who sees the truth. Who sees doesn't mean that he sees with eyes. That is not what we mean. You may not see with the eyes. It may not be something that is seen with the eyes, but yet I see. Yaf pashyati sa pashyati. One who sees, sees it. He is the rishi. Means he knows it. Why not say no? Why say see, pashyati? You could as well say janati. But this janati, it could be 50-50. I know it, but I do not know it. Something like that. Do you know tatvamasi? Yes, I know it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know tatvamasi? Oh, no, I don't know it. So mm-hmm. It is like that. Whereas, if you use pashyati, not in the meaning of seeing with the eyes, But in the meaning of janati, then that janati is a different janati. It is no more knowing and not knowing. It is something which I know. It is like saying, do you know Africa? Yes, I know Africa. Did you ever see it? No, I did not see it. So that is janati. Whereas suppose you ask, do you know Africa? Yes. Even now, I can see it. I can visualize it. That is real seeing. In that sense, we use pashyati. Where janati should have been used, if you use pashyati, it is not about seeing an object with the eyes. It is something more than that. Then that pashyati is the real pashyati. Means knowing deeply within. That is the pashyati. It is not just knowing. In that sense, pashyati is used. Yav pashyate rukmavarnam. Like that in Munda Upanishad also there is a mantra. One who sees. That seeing is really knowing. Really knowing. Not knowing in a dubious sense. Or in a very superficial sense. Or just at a conceptual level. So, that is the Rishi. Rishihi Darshanat. So one such a Rishi, he tries to visualize the cause of this universe. Jagat Karanam Brahma, we say. How could that be? Means, the cause is always the Purvavastha, the earlier state. Because we are not talking of Nimitta Karana, etc. Cause, the efficient cause, etc. we are not talking about. When we say Jagat Karanam Brahma, we mainly mean, you can add Nimitta Karanam later. You see, when it is Advaya, one without the second, you cannot have Nimitta Karanam. You can only have Upadana Karanam. Nimitta Karanam becomes relevant only when you have a few things around and you have a conscious person around. So now this conscious person is upada, he is the nimitta, he like pot and pair. So nimitta karana comes into play or into picture a bit later. But when it is Brahma, which is Atma, which is awareness absolute, and that is the stuff of which the universe is composed, then you are not talking of upadana anymore. You are not talking of nimitta anymore. You are talking of upadana only. Therefore, that is how he is visualizing. He is not visualizing a person standing there, taking a decision and managing a few things by his power and all that. He is not saying all that. That reality, which alone appears as this universe, you see, you can put it in a given language. That reality, which becomes this universe, that is one way. It is indeed said like that. So, saha tada srujat tada bhavat mantra. It created asrujat. How? Tada bhavat. It became. That is how tada asit. It is. It created. It became. It is. Tada srujat, tada asit, tada srujat, tada bhavat, tada asit. Like that there is a mantra. These are all one and the same. So, from a very gross point of view, we say, tat brahma asrujat, that brahma created this universe. What kind of creation it is? Tata abhavat, the brahma itself manifested. That is where the word manifested comes. Oh, now brahma manifested means? Brahma has undergone some transformation. That is what a manifestation is. Manifestation, the word has that it heavily bends towards parinama, transformation. Manifestation implies more of transformation than apparition. When you hear manifestation, how do you feel it? Do you feel it as a transformation, or do you feel it as apparition? How do you feel? you feel it as transformation. That is, the world is like that. It is more of transformation than apparition. So we grant it for a while, but then we are not yet done with it. We don't stop it there. Because if you stop it there, it leads to a plethora of contradictions. You cannot wriggle out of it. Because Parinamavada, it ultimately pull you into Dvaita. And it makes the Godhead, that reality, into some material object which undergoes transformations. Because only a material object can undergo transformation. And therefore, Tadabhavat, we are not satisfied with that expression. We are not done with that expression. The Rishi is not done with it. He wants to add one more. Tadasit. That alone is. The past tense doesn't mean anything. The past tense in mantras, it is not intended. There is no vivaksha. Tadasit doesn't mean it was. It only means this. So, it did not even undergo any transformation. In spite of all these appearances, what is that only. Tadasit. So, it's an apparitional cause, not a transformational cause. So, what could be that Brahma, which is the apparitional cause of this universe? If it is a transformational cause, you can know something about that Brahma. Like, pot is I don't like that example to give it that way, because that is not what is meant by the Shruti. Shruti doesn't say it is a transformation. Shruti says it is an apparition. Vikaro namadheyam uttike vachalambanam. Vachalambanam is not transformation. Vachalambanam is apparition only. So I don't want to give that example. Let me take the gold example. You can as well describe gold transforming itself into a necklace. Even while saying it, I am not happy with it, because gold remains gold. It doesn't do anything of that kind which you are putting on it. But let us take it like that, abhyupagamya. Let us accept it for the present. So, when you want to know something about gold, you can look at its product of transformation, namely the necklace, and study it and guess something about gold. Because it is a kind of a transformation. You cannot do that about Brahman by looking at Jagat. You know why? Jagat is never the same. Whereas Brahman is always the same. And Jagat is a jada, insentient. Whereas Brahman is the sentience. And then Jagat is dukkha. Dukkhatpakanyat. Bhagavan Buddha says that. Our own Sri Krishna says that Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam Jagat. And therefore, by looking at Jagat, if you have to say Brahman, Brahman must be Asat, Achit, and Dukkha. That way you have to say. Whereas what you should say is Sat, Achit, Ananda, the opposite you have to say. It is exactly the opposite of Jagat. Then how Jagat is the transformation? Therefore, it is an apparition. And that too, what kind of apparition? The Sat appears as Asat, the Chit appears as Jada, and Ananda appears as Dukkha. So what kind of apparition it must be? An apparition rooted in ignorance. There is no other way. And the Rishi sees that reality from which this apparitional universe has come. It did not come. It appears to come. It doesn't even appear to come for the one who knows. It appears to come only for the one who doesn't know yet. Very complex situation. And he has to say something about that Brahman. What else can he say? Yet he says. And he says seven verses about that reality, which appears as the universe for an ignorant person. So he says a few verses, and that is called Nasadiya Suktam. Why it is called Nasadiya Suktam? Like Keno Upanishad is called so, because it begins with Kena. Put Upanishad. This begins with Nasadasit. It begins with Nasada. If you don't do proper sandhi, it begins with Nasada. If you do sandhi, it begins with Nasad. So whether you start it as Nasada or Nasad, belonging to that, beginning with that, Nasadiya. There is a pratyaya, iyasun gariya, like that, Nasadiya. So, this Nasadiya Suktam, a Sukta, a hymn. It doesn't praise any devata or any such thing. No, there is no devata before creation. All devatas came after creation only. And so a hymn that talks about the reality before this creation. Under that is the Brahman. He doesn't even use the word Brahman. Or maybe he says Brahman later, but not to begin with. And he talks about it. That is the Nasadi Sukta. And it is there in Rigveda. And of course it is there in Krishna Yajurveda also. And Vidyaranya Swami has written a commentary on it. It is very useful. But then Aurobindo has commented upon it. Many, many Western philosophers and scholars have commented upon it. Very interestingly, if you look at the literature, say Telugu literature, Sanskrit literature, and then you look at the Vedanta literature in the West, maybe I am presumptuous, I don't know. It looks as if more in the West know about Nasadi Sukta than in India. In India, first of all, what all they know is Purana. They don't know anything about Veda. The entire vision is based in Purana. Veda is in the background. They say we are Vedic. It is more of a posture than reality. Reality, they should as well say Puranic. That will sound better. And then they say Puranas are upholding Veda only. It's okay. That is a different thing. Puranas do uphold Veda maybe. But it is more Puranic than Vedic. And therefore, this is from Veda. Therefore, that is reason enough not to know this. And then in the Veda also, the Devata Drishti, it controls, it commands the human mind. And therefore, we know Devata Sukta, Shishi Sukta, Agni Sukta, Varuna Sukta, Chandra Sukta, Manyu Sukta. Not Manyu, Manyu is not a Devata. Rudra Sukta, Vishnu Sukta, Bhu Sukta, any Devata you name, the Sukta will be there. They are popular. People do know some of them. But not Nasadiya Sukta. It is not a Devata Sukta. Whereas in the West, they have no cultural baggage. You know, they have an open mind. They may have their pitfalls, their weaknesses. We can look at them and point out also. But they have their advantage also, you know. They have their advantage. They don't have the baggage, Purana, this Devata, that Sukta, this worship, that thing. They don't have any of that. They look at the literature. And whatever strikes as something amazing, they grab it. All of them. You mention one Indologist of the West, he knows all about Nasadi Sukta. Every one of them talked something or the other about Nasadiya Sukta, like Jacobi and others. All of them have heaped praise on this Sukta because it is like a quantum physicist talking about the quantum world. The quantum world defies logic, defies description. Yet a quantum physicist is talking about that. And he puts it in some language. Uncertainty principle. The word uncertainty itself is a quantum word because certainty is physics. Physicists know certainty. They don't know uncertainty. If it is uncertainty, it is still not physics. You have to make it certain, quantifiable, describe something that can be described, then it becomes physics. But then in this new physics, uncertainty is a part of the physics. That is the new physics. So quantum physics. Uncertainty principle belongs to quantum physics. And so, this quantum physics language, under the language of this Sukta, they rhyme with each other. If you put some of these sentences there, you cannot distinguish, oh, it has come from elsewhere like that. So, this is how they are amazed about this Sukta. I am trying to give you the spirit of this sutta. And also, one more thing. See, I tell you how. Suppose you ask a gentleman, do you know God? He says, yes. Suppose you ask a Purohit, a priest, do you know God? He says, yeah. That is my profession. God is my profession. Every day, I open the God's house, I open it to public, I prepare the God for the public, and I describe and I give a lecture on God. That is my profession. I know God. Who knows better than me? I know God. Okay? And then you ask another person, do you know God? He says, I don't know God. Because God is the unknown and the unknowable. No, you have a refined, trained and disciplined intellect. Use it and know it. Then he says, no. Intellect cannot know it. Because the mind, intellect or mind, the mind always moves from the known to the known. And suppose the mind moves from the known, our mind moves and holds on to the unknown, it is no more unknown. Mm-hmm. So the paradox is obvious. And God is not something that the mind can hold on to. But then people do talk about God. People do think about God. Then only they are able to talk about God and do something about God, worship. What about that? It's okay. It is a conceptual God. Because it is the God which the mind holds on to. A conceptual God. Now, a few questions arise. Is the conceptual God not the same as real God? No. Because the concept itself is very deeply influenced or colored by the vasanas and the samskaras of the human mind. We are not talking about people. In fact, I don't recognize any people. There are no people. There are only bundles of memories. I am a bundle of memories. You are another bundle of memories. Or emotions or whatever. Each is a bundle. It is like a quantum field. There are no people. There are only quantum field. There is a universal quantum field in which there is a vortex here, a whirlpool there. That is what it is in quantum world. Similarly, there are no people. People means they fight with each other. What else they do? People means kalaham. Whereas, there are only quantum fields. Now, with whom will you fight and who will fight? You try this. You try it. So what happens is, Tulya Ninda Stuti. You try it. So, you see, I tried this. It works, I tell you. Yeah, it really works. Somebody praises you. Okay. It is all quantum field. There is no one who is praising and there is no one who is receiving it. Because if there is one who praises and one who receives it, you wait for 6 months or 1 year. Then praising each other. The praise may not be there all the time. Praise also changes. So it is all quantum field. So similarly, there are no individuals. It is all mind moving from one known to the other known. And this mind, it is deeply influenced by the memories, the recollections and what all, the past. Mind is the past. There is nothing like present mind. If you are in the present, you are thoughtless, not mindless. Thoughtless. Then only there is present. When the thought is operating, you are operating in the past. You are not operating in the present. So, where is the question of mind holding on to the truth that just doesn't arise? But still, therefore one question I have answered. I raised the question and answered. Is the conceptual God same as the reality? No. Then, is the conceptual God worthless? No. Not worthless. Then what is the value of the conceptual God if it is not the real God? The value of the conceptual God is to prepare the mind and discipline it and train it so that you reach the real God. And this is the value of conceptual God. Therefore, we accommodate the conceptual God. We do not, you know, we validate the conceptual God. We do not reject it. And we do say that. If we don't say that, it becomes a half-truth. A half-truth can be innocent or can be hypocritical. You never know. We say that. How? Nate rupam nachakarah nalvudhani nachaspadam upasakanam karyartham brahmano upakalpana. Like that there is a verse. Exact source and reference I will find out and give you. This is a well-known verse. So Brahma, the reality, has none of these trappings, like a rupa, a form, a shape, some weapons, some spot where it is located. Vaikuntha Kailasa, a place in the space where it is located, a locale. So none of these things are there. They are conceptualized, kalpana. All these trappings are conceived. They are conceived. For what? To make a worship possible. Otherwise you cannot have a worship. In Nasadiya Suktam, there is only wonder. No worship. You wonder. You don't worship. Generally, either you wonder or you worship. You are looking at the sun. Either you wonder or you worship. You don't do both. So, worship is a mental phenomenon. The mind operating in the field of phenomena. Whereas wonder is you raise above the phenomena. That is what wonder is. That's why a wondrous thing takes you elsewhere. You will come back with a third, that is a different thing, but a wondrous thing takes you elsewhere. And therefore, a worship, a person who is not yet ready to wonder, who is not able to become, in wonder, there is no movement of mind. That noise of the mind is absent. Whatever noise it is, maybe even sacred noise, it is not there. In wonder, the mind becomes still. That is what a wonder. If mind is operating, there is no wonder. And therefore, a mind which is yet incapable of wondering, incapable of that silence, which is the God, really speaking. So, one has to prepare the mind for that. Have to prepare it. It won't come. Another name for silence, if you may, is Vairagya. Vairagya is silence. What is Raga? The eyes want to see something. The ears want to hear something. The taste bud wants to taste something. This is Raga. In Vairagya, all functions of the indriyas are set at rest. They are at rest. And then where will the mind move? The mind also remains quiet. That is what Vairagya is. Virakta, he alone knows how to wonder. Wonder at what? At everything. Wonder at everything. It is the mind which creates differences, which creates duality. Whereas, when the mind is not interfering with its divisions and opposites, then you are left with the same reality expressing itself very vividly and loudly, you know. So, that is a different ball game altogether. And so this Rishi, he was visualizing that reality. He is looking at Namarupa. But then he could rise above Namarupa. A person looks at name and form and he is deeply enmeshed in it. He just can't rise above that, Namarupa. Whereas another one looks at the same Namarupa
and he so readily rises above the Namarupa.
And while looking at the Namarupa, he knows that transport. He has that knack of transporting. It doesn't require any cost. It is a free transport. So, knack of transporting into the reality. And then, the reality's beauty is, when you reach it, you are lost in it. Not just lost, you are lost in it. That is the only way to reach it. There is no other way. So, the raindrop falling from above, it reaches the ocean only to lose itself in it, not to remain separate, to enjoy the glory of the ocean. That is not how the raindrop falls. The raindrop falls in the ocean only to merge in it and to lose itself in it. Similarly, this Rishi, he visualizes that reality through this Namarupa, and then he loses himself in it. And now there is an expression. And that expression is not the movement of the mind from the known to the known. In fact, it is a very firm negation of the known. Because the known does not contain the truth in it. The known doesn't have truth in it. The truth is ever the unknown. And that's why the truth can only be yourself. That's why tatvamsi. If the truth is known, then it is always the other. It can never be tatvamsi. The truth is the unknown. That is the only reason that the truth is yourself. Because you cannot know yourself. You can only be yourself. Therefore, from that state of realization, if I may say so, so it expresses. And that expression is the Nasadiya Sutta. You see, when gold expresses, the medium of expression also will have some of its impact upon it. Therefore, the Rishi is a Sanskrit loving Rishi, therefore the expression is found in Sanskrit language. Need not be Sanskrit only. There are rishis who know only English, and therefore the expression will be in English. And who know only Chinese language, the expression will be Chinese. So the expression will have the Namarupa content in it, but the expressed is beyond the Namarupa content, is beyond Shabda. So this is how it is called apaurusheyam vakyam. It is a shabda behind shabda. Or it is a shabda appearing as a shabda. So all this. This is how the paradoxes have to be cautiously appreciated. I suppose that is good enough introduction. If some more points are missing, we will say them while looking at the mantra. Now you may say the mantra. That Xerox thing, you have to be cautious about the first syllable. From then on it is very simple. Mm-hmm. The first syllable could be, it demands close attention from you. Mm-hmm. Nasadasit.
Nasadasit.
Let's say again. Om.
Om.
Nasadasit.
Nasadasit.
Om sadasit.
No tadasi.
Tadanim means then. Then it doesn't imply the time. It only implies before this universe appeared, what could it be? Because the expression is in words. The word is thought, given a shape. Thought is expressed as the word. And therefore, already the elements of mind you can find as the inexpressible is expressed, the elements of mind, thought are into it. So you have to tread cautiously. you should not assume tadanim is there, then. That means this is something about a thing which is in the flow of time. You should not assume like that. The time element is not there. We are not talking of the time element. But the expression says, talks about, the word is of the time because it is the expression through the language. You see, by the time you use a word, already you have defined it. You have defined means you have limited it. Therefore, the element of time will come, the element of space will come, the element of shape will come. Even while looking at those elements, you should rise above those elements. The vivaksha is not about time. The time is used even while speaking about the timeless. Tadanim, at that time, means where there is no time, at that time. Now, how can you talk like that? That is the only way we can talk. Talking means it will be like that only. You have to give that privilege for the talking. Talking means it will be like that. At that time, when there was no time, okay, what happened? What was there? Time element is stated. What was there? Generally, when we talk of the world, it is always either something is or something is not. The very fundamental duality, the very fundamental opposite. The world is a collection of opposites. Either you have sukha or dukkha, or you have dharma or adharma, punya or papa, mine or not mine, swapara, good bad. So, high and low, this is what the world is. Scholar and a fool. So this is what the world is. Beautiful and ugly. What else the world? What else is the world? There is no world. If I say that, you may say, how can you say that? For example, knowledge is there. Knowledge is not the opposite, part of the opposite. No, it is part of the opposite. I know Hindi. I don't know Russian. So knowing is always associated with not knowing. You know something means you don't know something. You don't know something means you know something. You start with know something. You end up with not knowing something. You start with not knowing something. You will end up with knowing. I don't know what is this flower. To say that, to make that not knowing valid, you must have known a lot about it. First you have known what is that flower. It is a flower, that much you have known. You have known it as an object. You have known yourself as the one who sees the object as the drashta. And you know the other person is another drashta who is more informed. And then only you are asking, what is this flower which I don't know. So a lot of knowing is there as an input before giving an expression of not knowing. Therefore, whenever you say I know, there is not knowing. Whenever you say I do not know, there is knowing. They are the opposites. Then more fundamental than that, you say, pot is, cloth is. What is the opposite there? Pot is not the opposite of cloth is. Gatahasti, patahasti, there is no opposite. There is opposite. Because, you see, if there were to be no, there is no pot, then there would be no, there is part. You say there is part only because there is no part. Suppose there is no part is not there, then the statement there is part would not be there. Because all isness is relative. It is the opposite of not is. And all nothingness, there is nothing here. Where? On the table. So what is that nothing? Generally, whatever articles are to be found on the table, they are not there. So what is your nothing now? Is it absolute or is it relative? It is relative. All nothing is like that. Therefore, in this phenomenal world, is, not is a pair of opposites. Therefore, now you tell me what is your word other than the opposites, because It is not only emotions like sukha dukkha. It is not only concepts like dharma adharma. It is not only physical situations like shita and krishna. It is not only knowledge like knowing and not knowing, but very fundamentally, the existence itself is split into the opposites. Then what else is there? That's why all creation is nothing but opposites. It is like magnetism divides itself into north and south pole. Electrical force field divides itself into positive and minus. So, like that, space divides itself into up and down. Time divides itself into earlier and later, gata and bhavishyat. Everything is in opposites. That is what creation is. Space-time itself is like that. Now you are talking of the Brahman in which there are no opposites. So, if you say Sat is Brahman, that Sat is not one of these two, Sat Asat. That is not that Sat. Because that Sat is not Asat, absolute anymore. It is the opposite of the Asat, which makes it relative, which makes it phenomenal, not noumenal anymore. Therefore, you are talking of a reality which you may call Sat, but that Sat is not the part of the Sat-Asat pair. That is Samadhar Sat. What Samadhar Sat? I don't know. It is Samadhar Sat. It is not the Sat-Asat pair is well known. It is not part of that. So, Asat na Asit. Sat na Asit. Na Sadasit. No Sadasit. Tadani. Okay, now you got it?
Yeah.
Nasi drajaha,
nasi drajaha,
no vyoma,
no vyoma,
aparoyat,
aparoyat.
It means what? I tell you. Suppose you say something is, that is already the mind. Suppose you say something is not, that is already the mind. Both are in the field of the no, and hence both are appearances. They do not constitute the reality. Now, how to reach the reality? Just by negating the known. You reach the frontiers of the known and raise above that. How? Whatever is known and whatever is unknown. In meditation, this meditation I have done. I had the sukta in my mind at the time or not, I don't remember now, but this meditation I have done, many times I have done. While doing, I was circumspect about it, whether to do it, because how will it be received? The point is, the meditation has to work, but I took the challenge and I did it. What? Now you bring to your mind what all is known. Don't ask how, just do it. And reject it. Again, don't ask how, do it. Now you bring to the mind, to the surface of the mind, what is unknown and reject it. That is what it is. You are already in the embrace of the Brahman. It is described like that. I will come to it. Therefore, anyadeva tad viditat atho aviditat adhi. So you have to reach the frontiers of knowing, because both known and unknown are inside the box called knowing. You know the unknown also, not known also as the not known, you know it. So both are within the domain of knowing, both known and the not known. Therefore you have to rise above both. And that's why I say wonder. Wonder is that. In wonder, you do not try to categorize it. And when you are categorizing, you do not wonder it. You do not wonder about it. In wonder, no categories. Even the effort to categorize is dropped. Only wonder remains. That is your true nature, Atma. That is the Brahman.
So, nasadasit, no sadasit tadani. It is not a hymn. It is a meditation. It is pure meditation. It is pure being that cannot be classified as easiness or not easiness. No such classification applies there. It is something beyond all classifications. It is something beyond the mind. Na sadasit, no sadasit tadani. Also, it is compared with the sushupti, that mantra will come. Then, rajaha nasit. Yeah, I said it and I went back. You are never satiated. You feel like saying some more. May not be some more, the same thing again. So, nasid rajaha. You see, rajoguna is the order of this universe. What is universe? Rajoguna. Universe is always in flux. Flux is rajoguna. There is no flux at that time. There is no flux, or there was no flux. Is and was have no meaning anymore. So there is no flux. No movement. And when movement is not there, then tamoguna also cannot be there. Because tamoguna is the cessation of the movement in one direction. Sattvaguna is the cessation of the movement in another direction. Rajoguna is in between. That's why rajoguna and tamoguna and sattvaguna, they resemble each other. Like all extremes resemble each other. The two pendulum positions resemble each other. Extremes resemble each other. Sattvaguna and tamoguna resemble each other. Ramana Maharshi is a sattvaguna person. What was he doing? He was not doing much that can be described. Then a lazy person is also similar. A lazy person, we come across many lazy people. What they do? They wake up, have some coffee or tea, and have some bath. Bath also very late bath. And then some food before or after, or some before and some after. And then linger around and have lunch and take a little rest. And then gossip here and there. They have some stroll, not some real walk. Some stroll around. And some easy walk and some loose talk without head or tail, and then come back and have some snack and some food and then relax and sleep, have some TV and then sleep. That is what a lazy person does. And what Ramana Maharshi used to do, at that time TVs were not there, he used to wake up and maybe he had his bath or whatever, and then look around and look at the cow, look at the birds. And then sit quiet, don't talk. And if somebody asks a question, give a very cryptic reply, very simple reply. And then it is time for lunch, have some food, and then relax. God knows what is he doing inside the darkness. So they look alike. So the rajoguna, which is the center of sattva and tamas, satrajastama guna, that rajoguna is the upalakshanam for sattva and tamas also. Upalakshanam means, when you say one thing, the closely related things also are as well said. That is called upalakshana. So, yatha rajagichyati ityukte, this is from Ramasutra Bhashya, Chatusutri. Rajagichyati ityukte, the king is going. Like Manmohan Singh is walking. Manmohan Singh is walking means like me, he is walking alone or what? No, there will be an entourage, a group of people before him, behind him, on his side, this side. So all are there. Similarly, when you say there was no rajoguna, means there was no sattvaguna, there was no tamoguna also. This is called upalakshanam. Upa samipe sthitva lakshayati. It shows itself and also a few things that are very close to it. That is called upalakshanam. So, therefore, this prakruti satvarajastamo gunatmika prakruti hi, it is not there. You know, what does it mean? It means, look at the universe. What do you have? Dravyam, matter, which is tamoguna. Which is the tamoguna manifestation? Kriya, movement, flux, which is rajoguna. Then sattvam, which is intelligence, or order that you find in this universe. It is not a chaotic universe. It is a cosmotic universe, or cosmos it is. Very structured and orderly universe. That is Satvaguna. Order is intelligence. That is Satvaguna. All the three are accounted for by the three gunas. Now, before creation, that Brahman, is it active? You cannot say that. Is it dull? You cannot say that. Is it intelligent? You cannot say that also. The word intelligence becomes relevant only when there is something, a phenomenal world before you, and then your mind looks at the world and then assesses the world and its content and then declares, oh, there is an order in this world. That is the intelligence. That is how intelligence comes. Therefore, before the appearance of the world, even the word intelligence or order have no meaning. In one without the second, there cannot be order also. Order is not there in the one without the second. What is there, we don't know. What is there is not possible. It is ineffable. You can tell only what is not there. So, nasi drajaha. Then, no vyoma. What about space? Because we are talking of the being, the reality. Generally, everything is everything is contained in space. Everything. When you say Swargaloka, Bhuloka, Kailasa, whatever you talk, it is contained in space. So come to physics, cosmology. There's galaxies, this, that, extraterrestrial intelligence. Everything is within space only. So, what about space? So the reality, it must have been in space. Because can you conceive something which is not in space?
Mm.
Can you conceive something which is not in space? Your faculty of conception itself becomes blunted. You are no more left with the faculty of conception. That's why it is called spaceless. When we say spaceless, you sit there and start conceiving about spaceless. You don't know what is the meaning of it. Timeless. Oh, it is timeless? Is it so? That is not the idea. You try to grasp it with your intellect. Therefore, that timeless is not timeless. It is the conceptual timeless. Conceptual timeless is not timeless. Conceptual timeless is in the past. It is rooted in the past. Therefore, no vyoma, spaceless. Then what else is there? Aparojata. What else is there? Aparaha is what else? What else is there? Aparaha, yata. Yata aparaha. What else? Nothing else. Nothing else.
Kimavarivaha.
Kuhakasya sharman. Ambhakkimasit.
Lahanangabhiram.
That reality, what did it contain? What did it contain? We ask this question. What did it contain means, it's not that it is a container, that not in that sense. It is something very great. Okay, what does it have? In a way, what does it have? The question can be rephrased as, what is it? When you say what is it, you are talking of, or you are trying to know its composition. So what it is composed of? It is same as, what does it contain? Or does it contain something? Both ways, it is an akshepa, means the question, which means the negation. The negation put in the form of a question. We call it akshepa. Another name, kaku in Sanskrit. So, suppose you say, please give me some money. You give me my money, suppose you say, do I have money? What are you talking? I asked you to wait. Do I have money in my pocket? So what does it mean? I am not asking a question. I am saying I do not have money in my pocket. Why not say it that way? I am ready to say it that way, but to make the point very emphatic, I say the form of a question. And I ask you to get the message from the question. You get the message. I put the question, you get the message. That is, it is not a question anymore. So the message is the opposite. That is how it is called akshepaha. So what did it contain? It contained nothing. It is composed of no parts. Or avaranam is concealing. What did it conceal within itself? It did not conceal anything. It revealed something, then it concealed something else. All that is duality. It is something like, suppose you look at this example, in a given context the illustration is given, but for that contextual situation it is. But suppose you say, the seed conceals the tree in a coded form in itself, and then whatever is concealed alone it reveals. It conceals and it reveals. Now Brahman is doing like that. Then how can you say Brahman is Advaya? Like we do the same thing. We conceal so many things, all anger, this and that, we conceal and we reveal. Brahman has all this world in him and then he is revealing it. He becomes a bigger samsari and all that. What concealing and revealing is all conceptual projections of a mind which is accustomed to think in those terms. So it doesn't contain anything. It doesn't conceal anything. It doesn't cover up anything. Conceal means there is an intention. Whereas cover up means there is no intention. So both do not apply here. There is no willful concealing. There is no normal covering up. Then, kuha kasya sharman, we say this jagat is protected by Bhagavan, Lord Vishnu. Or the family is protected by the head of the family. So like that, the human mind always conceives of a protector. Or protection, or both. Why? Because the idea of protection itself comes from an insecurity. There is the sense of insecurity, relative to that there is the idea of protection. So, who is protecting it? To whom? For whom? And where? All are questions which are suggestive of the negation. It is no kuha, where? It is not in any particular locale. The space idea is negated one more time. For whose sake, swarga? For whose happiness? For the happiness of the people who are meritorious. So it is Brahma. So it is for the happiness of those special people who have gained some knowledge and all. It is for their sake. Is it so? So all those who know Brahman will gain it and all others will remain in the samsara. So is that like that? Suppose I say, I am a jnani. I don't know Atma. That is singular jnana. I don't know Atma. He also doesn't know Atma. That is double jnana. Because I don't know Atma is one jnana. Being Atma Swarupa, he doesn't know Atma. That is one jnana. Not only me, but also he means another jnana because he is a second. He brings the fundamental truth of reality. Therefore, they don't know is double jnana. I don't know is singular jnana. Okay? So that is not the point. The point is, everybody is Atma. All are Atma. So, knowing and not knowing it is the mind which doesn't know. And it is the mind which knows. And mind is unreal. Therefore, Brahma Ajnana and Brahma Sakshatkara, both are equally unreal. That's why na nirodho na chotpattihi, na baddho na cha sadhakaha, na mumukshuhu na vai mokshaha, ityesha paramarthata. This is from Gaudapada Karika, Advaita Prakaranam. also taken from Trijubindu Upanishad. So there is no bandha, there is no moksha, and therefore it is not a reality which is gained by some and which is not gained by some others or denied to some others. There is no such thing. And then there is a story which says, more in Puranas, but it was there in Veda Mantras also, what we call Arthavadas. It says, before creation, it was all water. Like, it was all water. I asked my mother, who is God? He created this world. Where was he? He was in the ocean. Before creation, my mother told me this story. Before creation, it was all ocean. And God was in that ocean. How? Did he not go down? Because we used to swim in canal. And so, in canal we used to swim. Why? Because without swimming we go down. That's why we used to swim a lot. What about God? He doesn't go down. He doesn't drown. Why? He knows swimming? No. He need not swim. There is a papal leaf, Ashwatha Patram, and he sits there. And then my mother told me a verse. So, Krishnam Mukundam Manasasmaram. Like that it ends. So, Karar Pada. Kararavindena Padaravindam Mukharavinde Vinveshayantam Vatasya Patrasya Kuteshayanam Balam Mukundam Manasasmaram. That was the card. That is what she told me. That is when I first time experienced what is called wonder. I was wonder. I remember vividly, I was wonder with open, wide open eyes. Then my mother told me, do namaskar and go to sleep. And so I did namaskar and went to sleep. So this is the story. So it is always a deluge of water. Now, if it is all water, where was the lash? Don't ask all those questions. It was only water, no lash, nothing. Above, below, it is all water. No land. It is absolute water, not relative water. It is water, then land, it is absolute water. So, is that what it is? No, no. This is also said in a different context. Is conceived like that in a Puranic context or in an Arthavada context, a story context. Or there the word Ambaha means some energy. Sometimes Apaha is used to mean energy, a state before the creation. Not the ultimate, but somewhere intermediary state of creation. Within the creation you can think of a few intermediary levels. So like that. Like gold is melted and then made into necklace. So molten gold, some shape like that. Somehow it is all solid world. There must be liquid before that, something like that. So all such conceptual concepts are being negated. Ambhak kimasid gahanam gabhiram. Was it all water? Very deep and unfathomable gahanam gabhiram. So that kind of a water was it? Certainly not. That is the first verse. You may say the verse. Na sadasi, no sadasi, tadani.
Na sadasi, no sadasi, tadani.
Na sidrajo, no vyoma paroyat.
Na sidrajo, no vyoma paroyat.
Kimavari vahkuha kasya sharmanu.
Kimavari vahkuha kasya sharmanu.
Ambha. Kimasid gahanam gabhiram.
Kimasid gahanam gabhiram.
Namrutyur amrutam tarhena.
Namrutyur amrutam tarhena.
Ratriya anha asit prakretah.
Ratriya anha asit prakretah.
Anida vatag svadhaya tadekam.
Anida vatam svadhaya tadekam.
Tasma adhanyanna parah kincha nasa దిస్ ఇస్ ది యజుర్వేద రీడింగ్ పరోయత్ ఇస్ ది అథ ఋగ్వేద రీడింగ్ సో యు సే పరోయత్ ఓన్లీ మీనింగ్ ఇన్ ది రిమైన్స్ ది సేమ్ సో దిస్ విల్ కంటిన్యూ టుమారో ఆబ్వియస్లీ ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ గోయింగ్ టు బి కంప్లీటెడ్ ఇన్ వన్ డే నాట్ ఈవెన్ ఇన్ టూ డేస్ సో ఇట్ విల్ టేక్ వన్ మోర్ క్లాస్ ఫస్ట్ డే వీ హ్యావ్ 25 minutes టు బిగిన్ and then the ground is set and then so the ideas are brought out. Now you just go around. So today we have done a good job that makes the rest of it easy. So we will do tomorrow. If necessary, we will do one more class.